This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا ما علمتنا وزدنا علما سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم وبعد Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and our Creator. It's an honor and a privilege to be here again in your beautiful country, Norway. One of my teachers just 2 days ago was saying that he's traveled the whole world, and he was saying that the best country he's been to ever in terms of beauty and nature is Norway. And I also agree with that. So, alhamdulillah, it's an honor, it's a privilege. And this is my fifth visit, so I'm getting used to it. Probably some of you are already used to me as well, and you're probably getting bored by seeing the sight of me. Hopefully it's not like that, inshallah. And I hope you will understand. Sheikh Zahir just told me as I came in, these guys don't understand English. I said, I don't know, maybe your English, Allahu A'lam, has got a very strong accent. But in England, we have different places, different accents. I'm sure you have the same here. Yeah? If you live in London, sometimes the people living in right north of England, which is Newcastle, you can't understand. You think they're speaking Chinese or something. Seriously, sometimes you just don't understand what they're saying. Very heavy accents. But anyway, alhamdulillah. Today's program and convention that we have is about da'wah. Inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very important topic, a very important convention, and we have many things that we need to discuss today and tomorrow, inshallah. As you may have heard in the session before, and as we normally hear all the time, and we know, and I'm sure you all know, the importance of the obligation of inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and inviting towards the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings and enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. A very important obligation, which is an obligation for every Muslim. And numerous verses of the Quran and Sunnah talk about this. Numerous verses. I just mentioned one or two. My title, what I want to talk about is a specific ayah, which is Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izati hasana. Allah talks about the method, the methodology, the manner, the way in which people should invite towards Allah. And it's so important, especially in this day and age, seriously, that this particular ayah of the Quran is overlooked by many, many people who actually think they are doing good and inviting towards Allah. Two very important points have been mentioned in that particular verse of the Quran. But before I go into that, just one or two general ayat and hadiths that talk about da'wah itself. What does Allah say in the famous verse in Surah Al-Imran, where you might have heard of this verse? Allah says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. This is a very important ayah that talks about inviting towards Allah. But just before that, the ayah before that, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. O you who believe, fear Allah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. As he is ought to be feared. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not die except in the state of Iman and Islam. What does Allah teach us in this ayah? Remember, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. What does Allah say? Fear Allah, so taqwa. And then he says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاعْتَصِمُوا. All of you, all you Muslims, collectively, hold on to the rope of Allah, which is unity. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Do not be disunited. Do not be disunited. Do not disagree. Do not fight and quarrel and have disputes amongst yourselves. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And then the ayat carries on. And then in the verse after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this da'wah. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونِ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. There should be a group amongst you that invite towards good. In other words, the first two points Allah mentioned, in order for anyone's da'wah to be effective, anyone's da'wah to be effective, whether da'wah to Islam, you want to invite non-Muslims towards Islam, two prerequisites, two things Allah mentions in the Quran before you do da'wah. One is fear of Allah, so God consciousness. You have to be practicing Islam yourself. If there's no Islam in our own lives, we can talk all day long, lecture all day long, I can talk all day long, we can do da'wah, we can hold programs and seminars, write books. We can talk about Islam to everyone, but there will be no effect in it. Taqwa is talking about self-rectification. And number two, unity. And that's not my topic, which I will talk about tomorrow. Which unity doesn't mean that you can't disagree. Basically, agreeing to disagree. Disagreeing with ethics, with moral ethics, with other. Which is a topic on its own, which we'll talk about tomorrow. And this is one of the reasons why we don't find da'wah being effective. When we invite non-Muslims towards Islam, or even Muslims towards Islamic obligations, we have to start off first with taqwa and i'tasimu bihablillah, unity. And if we don't, then this da'wah that we'll do will not be effective. These are very important two conditions, prerequisites, integrals before we even think about doing da'wah. So this is what Allah says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Let there be a group from amongst you that invite people towards good. يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They enjoy the good. يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Those of you, or some of you who might know Arabic, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. The word يَأْمُرُونَ is from the word أَمْر, which means to command. Right? Now the Arabic word in here, يأمرون, is what we call صيغة الاستمرار, which means continuously. Allah didn't say أمروا, it's يأمرون, which means continuously, all the time. صيغة الاستمرار, مضارع, which means continuously. They enjoy the good continuously. You don't wait for the time. You can talk about fasting before Ramadan comes. We can invite someone for Isha Salah before Isha time arrives. Continuously. وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And they continuously forbid the evil. This is our responsibility. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And I'll tell you another thing here as well. The word Allah used is يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. What do? They enjoy. What's the word used by Allah for enjoying the good? Good. Which word? What did I just read?
Ma'roof.
Ma'roof. You know what literally, linguistically, ma'roof means?
The known.
Known, recognized, not the disagreed. Like, you don't have to, you know, argue and fight about something which is not disagreed between hundreds of imams of this ummah. It's ma'roof, it's known. Enjoy that first and foremost. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy other things, enjoy and order and ask people and others to do other things. But this is what Allah is saying in this ayah. يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. It's so well known. Who doesn't know from the Muslims that there's an obligation to offer prayers? Who doesn't know within the Muslims that alcohol is haram, riba is haram, gambling is unlawful, zina and adultery, fornication is sinful and lawful, cheating, lying, deceiving, fraud unlawful, backbiting unlawful, jealousy unlawful, hatred unlawful, calling names unlawful, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ, سُوءُ الظَّنِّ, bad opinion, suspicion, unlawful, a major sin. جَاسُوسُ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, Allah says in the Quran, going and searching out people's faults, a major sin, haram. These are basic laws of Islam, more important than many other issues that we sometimes think are much more important. So this is what Allah is saying. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Remember the two conditions in the ayah before that, taqwa and i'tisam bihablillah, holding on collectively to the rope of Allah. I'll tell you one thing, I just remember. In order for, what are the two conditions mentioned before that? In order for da'wah to be effective, taqwa, self-rectification, practice Islam our own selves. And number two, what's number two? Holding on to collectively to the rope of Allah and not having disunity. You know why? Because if we have disunity, then what happens? And this is not my topic, but I just mentioned this because I just remembered. What will happen is the da'wah will not be effective. And I'll tell you an incident. You know, in England, UK, United Kingdom, do you know where that is? Yeah? You know, I'm not used to this thing. But anyway, last time I came, I had to take this off. I never used this, but anyway. Next time I think, you know, I'll send you a long email with all the prerequisites. You know, we need to stand here with one of those. But anyway, alhamdulillah. I'll tell you something. You know, in England, there was a sister, a few years ago, somebody told me about this. She became Muslim. She converted to Islam and she was interested in Islam. As soon as she became Muslim, the people who worked on her gave her some books to read of some shaykhs and said, everyone else is a kafir mushrik bid'ah. You know, this is wrong. So she started, okay. After, next day, some other people came. They came to visit her, some sisters. So what are you doing with all this book of shirk and kufr? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is not Islam. Someone deceived you. Give it, we'll take all the books away. I came and gave their books. Next day, third day, somebody else came. What's all this? This is wrong Islam. You need to follow the true Islam, the traditional Islam. These are the books. Fourth day, again, about four or five times, seriously. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. After five, six times, different groups came and gave their different versions of Islam. You know what she said? And this is not something to laugh about. She said, why bother and take all this hassle? And she just left Islam altogether. At least leave her, even if she's a Muslim, in a different type of Muslim, different group, at least it's better than not being a Muslim. And okay, let her be Muslim, then see if it's fine later on. Maybe you can say, okay, this is a better version, or this is what we think to be more correct. No problem. But that's not my topic anyway, which I'll talk about tomorrow. But these are the two conditions. Self-rectification, number one. Number two, holding on collectively to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With those two conditions, Allah says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونِ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. This ayah is in commanding us that we must fulfill this obligation to enjoin the good, order the good, command the good, forbid the evil. Number two, another ayah where Allah says that, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ, this is in Surah As-Sajdah, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا سَيِّئَةُ إِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ حِجَابٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. What does Allah say? Amazing verse. The whole of Quran is amazing, of course, if you ponder and look into the meanings. But what does Allah say here? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allah is talking about in the context of mentioning the characteristics of the great complete believers. These are the good qualities, the attributes, the sifat, the characteristics of the believers. He says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whose speech can be better than the one who uses his speech to call and invite towards Allah? Whose speech can be better? Which means nobody's speech can be better. If you say a good word to someone, whether it's lecturing, and it's not just speech by mouth, you can even write, but in any way, even any good word, any good advice, any good nasiha, any small nasiha you give, Allah says there's nothing better than this in the world. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. The one who invites to Allah. Remember, it's not just inviting, meaning, okay, brother, sis, or you go to a non-Muslim, say, you need to be a Muslim today, tomorrow, right now, you know, sit down. It's not like that, of course. It's a gradual process. But anything good. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. And then, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. They do the righteous good things themselves. Again, in this ayah as well, Allah is talking about practicing Islam yourself. دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And then what does he say? وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا سَيِّئَةُ. Remember, Allah says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَسَيِّئَةُ. He says, good and evil cannot be equal. And then he says, straight after that, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَسَيِّئَةُ. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. Repel with the most beautiful of ways and manners. Even if you have to have a discussion or a debate with a non-Muslim, Allah says, الَّذِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. Even if it's a non-Muslim, your manner, your speech, your conduct. A Muslim doesn't swear, slander. This is the problem sometimes, unfortunately or sadly, big problem. Because we think we are doing good for Islam, we think everything's justified. It's okay, I'm inviting people to Allah, so it doesn't matter, you know, whether I swear, slander another Muslim, you're this, you're mushrik, you're this, you're that, and then you start swearing at their parents. I mean, seriously, you look on the internet sometimes, the way people argue from different groups, swearing, slandering, vulgar language, a'udhu billah. And because this is Shaytan, very trickery, he's very cunning. Shaytan, Talbis Iblis. You know, there's a book in Arabic, Al-Imam Ibn Jawzi, it's a Hanbali scholar, he wrote a book called Talbis Iblis. The tricks of Shaytan. If you want to save yourself from Shaytan, you need to understand his tricks. So learn all the tricks that he uses. I think it's translated into English, Allahu A'lam. But it's in Arabic. Shaitan, you know, this is the time when he uses. Because he paints the picture in a good way. So we are committing the sins of backbiting, jealousy, swearing, slandering, every major haram sin that is bigger than anything that we can think of. Kabair. But we don't realize because we think, you know what, I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. Since when did swearing become halal for the sake of Allah? Since when did, you know, being vulgar in your language become halal for the sake of Allah? And we have examples of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what does Allah say? وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. ادْفَعْ بِالَّذِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. وَلَا تُجَادِلُ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّذِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. In another verse Allah says that do not debate with the people of the book, Christians and Jews, وَلَا تُجَادِلُ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّذِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Except in the most ahsan of ways, the greatest of ways, the best of ways. We have the great example is for us is who? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Look at this. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. The best example for us is who? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Okay, let's look at his example. Just one or two examples. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one of the famous hadiths, he says in Sahih of Imam Muslim and elsewhere, an absolutely authenticated, rigorous in Sahih hadith, he says that the story in which, you know, once he became upset with some of his wives and then he gave them an option, a choice, an ultimatum, which is in the Quran, Allah mentions this in the Quran, to choose him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or choose the dunya, you know, over him. إن كنتن تردن يا نساء النبي لستن إن كنتن تردن الحياة الدنيا وزينتها فتعالينا ومتعكن وسرحكن سراحا جميلا وإن كنتن تردن الله ورسوله والدار الآخرة فإن الله أعد للمحسنات منكن أجرا عظيما. There's two verses there in the Quran. So when the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم gave these choices, first person, the first wife he went to was Sayyidah Aisha صديقة رضي الله عنها, the mother of the believers, أم المؤمنين. Aisha, as-siddiqatu bint as-siddiq. The truthful, the daughter of the truthful. That's her title. One of the narrators who narrates a hadith actually was her nephew. Every time he used to narrate hadith from her, he used to say, حدثتني as-siddiqatu bint as-siddiq al-mubarra'a. I was informed by the great truthful, the daughter of the truthful, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, regarding whom Allah has revealed a whole, like a rugur, a page or two in the Quran about chastity. About a chastity. So when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her the choice, you know the story, what did she do? She said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually said to her that, look, don't make a decision right now. Go and ask your parents first. Make mashwara. Ask them if you want to remain in the marriage or you know, you want to, because things were difficult for them. So she said, أَفِيكَ أَخْتَارُ أَبَوَيَّ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Is this a question? Is this something that I need to talk to my parents about? Regarding you, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But anyway, she chose the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but she said one thing. Please don't relate my answer to any of the others if they ask you. So the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَبْعَثْنِي مُعَنِّتًا. I won't tell them, but if they ask me, I will tell them. Because Allah has not sent me to put people in difficulty. مُعَنِّتًا وَلَا مُتَعَنِّتًا. And neither someone who likes, hardship and difficulty on others. وَلَكِنْ بَعَثَنِي مُعَلِّمًا مُيَسِّرًا. Allah has sent me as a teacher, مُعَلِّمًا, a da'i, a teacher. مُيَسِّرًا, who makes things easy for people. That's why when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to send his companions, he used to tell them, يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا. Make things easy for people. يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا. Don't make things difficult for people. بَشِّرُوا, give glad tidings. دعوة should be, this is my topic. أُدْعُوا, based on this ayah, أُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. Two things, hikmah and mawridat al-hasana. I'm talking about mawridat al-hasana. Invite towards your Lord. Da'wah, we should be with two things. This is the methodology. There are many other things which speak after me, we'll speak about. But these are the two things I want to concentrate on. Hikmah and maw'id al-hasana. Anyone who wants to do da'wah, anyone who wants to take on this job task of da'wah, if they don't have these two important aspects in their da'wah, it will fail. Using wisdom, hikmah, aqal, you need brain, you need intellect. Anyone doesn't have a brain, there's a time and place for everything. There are times to say things, there are times not to say something. There are ways to do da'wah. Aql plays a big role. If we need to have brains. So that's hikmah. And number two, وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَ أُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلَ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَ. Good preaching. This is what we see in the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Good preaching. In the Sahih of Imam Muslim, Muawiyah bin al-Hakam radiallahu anhu. He says, one day, بينما نحن جلوس مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, بينما أصلي مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. One day, we were praying with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in the masjid. And you know what happened? عطس رجل من القوم. A person within the congregation sneezed. You know what sneezing is? Yeah, do you know? I can't do it because sneezing is only if it happens automatically. But everybody knows what sneezing is? عَطَسَ رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الْقَوْمِ. This Muawiyah bin al-Hakam was someone who had recently newly become Muslim. He was not aware that you can't talk or converse in Salah. This is the hadith of Sahih Muslim. So he said, قُلْتُ يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ. I said in my Salah, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ. You know when you sneeze, الحمد لله. The other person has to say what? يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ, the sunnah. He said, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ. So he said, some people around me, they were looking. فَرَمَانِ الْقَوْمُ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. The people started looking at me, So I said, مَا لَكُمْ؟ مَا شَأْنُكُمْ تَنْظُرُونِ إِلَيَّ؟ What's wrong with you guys? Why are you looking at me for all of you? Give me all these dirty looks. He's carrying on talking in his salah. He didn't know. What's everybody looking at me for? So when I said that, they said, ضَرَبُوا أَيْدِيَهُمْ بِأَفْخَاذِهِمْ. They started, just making noise. They hit with their hands on their thighs. Meaning, you can't talk. So he said, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ يُصَمِّتُونَنِي. When I realized that they're trying to make me quiet, then I just stayed quiet. After that, when I offered salah, when the salah was complete, فَلَمَّا صَلَّى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed his prayer. Look at this example. Good preaching. If it was someone like me today, أخي, who was that? Who came in the mosque today? Astaghfirullah. La hawla wa la quwwata billah billah. Do you know how to pray? Hasn't anyone taught you how to pray? You need to learn how to pray. Don't come into our mosque and you're disturbing everybody. Women with children, disturbing everybody. Take your children home. This is not the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brothers and sisters. He says, for wallahi, he said, bi abi wa ummi, my parents be sacrificed on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فوالله ما كهرني ولا ضربني ولا شتمني. By Allah, he did not rebuke me. He never said anything bad with his mouth. He never hit me. He never swore at me. He wasn't foul-mouthed, nothing. And then he said, فَمَا رَأَيْتُ مَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ أَحْسَنَ تَعْلِيمًا مِنْهُ. I have never seen a teacher before him and after him in my life as a better teacher than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the example. We've forgotten all these examples, and very sad, it's very sad. You know the famous incident of the A'rabi, the villager. There was a villager, famous hadith, Bukhari, Muslim, elsewhere. He came to the masjid of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, when he came to the masjid of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happened was that he came and he made a dua. He made a dua. Allahumma arhamni wa Muhammada wa la tarham ana ahada. Oh Allah, just have rahmah, mercy on me and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and nobody else. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَقَدْ ضَيَّقْتَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. You know, you've really narrowed the mercy of Allah. He never became upset. And then after that, in the corner of the masjid, he went and started urinating. بَالَ عَرَابِيٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. He started urinating. Imagine this happening in our masjids, like, I don't know, here. But in England, if that happened, all the people will take and they'll go and probably strike him and, you know, he'll get bruised. You know, kick him out of the masjid. You know, take him out of the masjid. Well, astaghfirullah. He started urinating in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one corner. He wasn't aware, he thought you can do that, not a problem. So he said, some people started looking at me. فَرَمَانِ الْقَوْمُ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. A lot of the companions started like looking, what is he doing? So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave him, it's okay. Let us remove him. Don't even rebuke him. Don't say anything. In another riwayah, let him finish. Let him complete his job that he's doing down there. And the commentators of the hadith, they actually mentioned a couple of reasons why. Number one is that medical reason. Many of you might be medics here. I know a lot of people are medics. Medically, it's harmful for someone to stop someone whilst they're urinating in the midst. Okay? So he was more concerned about his personal health and well-being over the masjid being polluted, because you can clean that afterwards. And number two, the second reason is that if they start stopping him, he might move there. Rather than just that part being polluted, the whole, you know, area would be polluted. So these are two reasons. But he said, don't. And then he said, after that, let him finish. And then just dalwan min ma'in. Just take some water and just put it over it and then wash it and clean it and purify it. And then he said, after I finished, he called me over. Well, you know, he came to me. You can go to these people. It didn't mean that I'm a sheikh, so people have to come to me. Okay? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know the example, the best example for us, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Really, there are no protocols, there is no over-exaggeration, none of that kind of stuff. Simple, you know, clean-hearted human being who actually did da'wah for the sake of Allah, for nobody else. He went to him and he said, look, brother, in هذه المساجد لا تصلح لشيء من هذا وإنما هي لذكر الله والصلاة وقراءة القرآن. These masjid places of worship, houses of Allah, it's not appropriate. These places are not to urinate. This is a place where we read Quran, we recite Quran, we offer salah, and we make dhikr of Allah. In other words, next time don't do it, not a problem. This is the example for us. So this person as well, he said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said anything bad to me whilst he was talking in salah. And the same thing, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually told him. He went to him and said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةَ لَا يَصْلَحُ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِّن كَلَامِ النَّاسِ. In prayer, to talk whilst people are praying is not appropriate. So next time, don't talk. And this, you know, in that kind of way, method, when we do da'wah, with love, with affection, with rahmah, with mercy, with maw'idah al-hasanah, it has an impact on people's hearts. If we're harsh, what does Allah say in the Quran? Allah says, to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. O Messenger of God, O Messenger, Allah is talking, addressing the Messenger of Allah. He said, it's because of the rahmah of Allah, because of my rahmah, Allah is saying to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. You are gentle with your companions and the people around you. You are gentle. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا. Had you been rude, in your vulgar, rude in your language, rude, you know, very like strict and rude and very reserved. Some people think being reserved is an ibadah. A'udhu billah. You know, it's like, oh, I'm practicing now. This, like, I met this brother once, he's very tense. You know reserved? Do you know what reserved means? Like, do you know what reserved? Come on, somebody, translate in Norwegian. It's like, okay, so tense and so reserved. And Shafi, he's probably met many of those in his city of Birmingham Sharif. So, very reserved. So I said to him, is everything okay, brother? You know, why is it reserved? He said, I've become practicing now. I know he used to practice, now I've become practicing. Since when was being reserved had anything to do with being practicing Muslim? Some people actually think when you're now a pious Muslim, you can't smile anymore, you can't crack a joke anymore. No, so it's just, you know, I've got a thing to do. I'm here in this world. I've got an objective. You know, I don't have time to, you know, be, you know, interact with people in a joyful way. So that's a wrong understanding. The Messenger of Allah, what does Allah say? وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ. If you were rude, if you were harsh-hearted, لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. They would have left you, the companions would have left you. They would have dispersed. But it's because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, like I said, he was not harsh. He was not hard-hearted. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِمْتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. This is in the Quran verse. To you has come a messenger from amongst you. He's a human from amongst you. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِمْتُمْ. When difficulty befalls you, he finds it difficult. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He's very eager. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. He has rahmah, mercy, he is very merciful towards the believers. And so this is the example we have. In the Shama'il of Imam al-Tirmidhi, there's quite a few hadiths, but there's a long hadith, just a few things about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character, and when he used to do da'wah, the companion, he says, this is actually Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, the son of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he says, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam دَائِمَ الْبِشْرِ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always very pleasant. Even though he had the thought and the worry of the whole ummah. That's why in another riwayah, mutawasil al-ahzan, which is that he was internally very concerned. Because he's thinking about the whole ummah, but he never showed it on his face. You know, if you have a problem, we'll make sure everybody knows. That's us. Like, you know, I'm tired to this. Tired, this is hurting. You tell them, your brother, your sister, your mother, your daughter, your father, your husband, your wife, everybody needs to know you've got a problem. You know, the best of people are those that don't let their loved ones know that they have a problem. Seriously, especially husband-wife relationship. You know, I know, especially, okay, women are more justified because they like all that, you know, attention more than the husbands. But even though, in that case, a good wife is someone, normally things happen, don't even let your husband know. And the husband as well, you've got difficulties, hardships, working here, there. Don't bring all the problems and put it on her. Okay, you can discuss it, but some things you can just tolerate it yourself. This is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Internally he was very worried. But Dalim al-Bishr, he used to be very pleasant. He would always smile. He would always greet people with pleasantness. And then he says, Sahl al-Khuluq. He was very easygoing, very easy. Not a difficult person to sort of interact with. You know, some people, it's very difficult to get a smile out of them. So difficult to even have a conversation with them. Sahla, he was very easygoing. Whoever saw him fell in love with him. Man, this is actually in the hadith. Ahabbahum. Man, whoever met him, ahabbahum. In this riwayah, it says, layyin al-janib. Very soft nature. Very soft by nature. Laysa bifaddin. He was not rude. Wala ghaleez, not harsh. Wala sahab, he never used to yell at people. Do this, brother, do this, sister, do that. This is wrong, this is haram, this is shirk, this is bid'ah. He never used to do that. Shout and yell at people. Wala fahash, he was not vulgar in his language. Wala ayyab, he was not very critical. He never used to criticize people all the time. That's a disease of some people as well. Being overtly, all the time critical. He wasn't critical. Wala maddah, and he never used to exaggerate as well in praising people. يَتَغَافَلُ عَمَّا لَا يَشْتَهِي. He used to overlook, intentionally, deliberately overlook some faults of people. Sometimes. Not all the time. You have to, of course, you see something evil. But sometimes something he didn't like, at that time, it's not the right time to say, he would just like turn like pretend he didn't even realize something. This is how he used to interact with his companions, radiallahu anhum. قَدْ تَرَكَ نَفْسَهُ مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. He abstained from three things. Al-mira'u, argumentation. Three things that he abstained from all the time. For himself, he left, he stayed far away from three things. Al-mira'u, arguing. Especially about deen, you know, argumentation. Wal-iktharu, and excessiveness, which most scholars say like excessive talking, all the time just talking. وَمَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. And number three, he stayed away far from the things that don't concern him. وَتَرَكَ النَّاسَ مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. And he left others three things that he left in terms of being connected to others. كَانَ لَا يَضُمُّ أَحَدًا وَلَا يَعِيبًا. He never used to condemn or be critical of anyone. وَلَا يَطْلُبُ عَوْرَتَهُ. He never used to go and seek out and look and search for people's faults. And وَلَا يَتَكَلَّمْ إِلَّا فِيمَا رَجَى ثَوَابَهُ. He never used to speak unless in which he had hope for reward and thawab. And then the hadith goes on. This is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَضْحَكُ مِمَّا يَضْحَكُونَ. When they used to smile, he used to smile with them. But sometimes somebody makes a joke and he says, funny, very funny. I said, this is not bad, good adab, this is bad adab. Even if you didn't find it funny, just for the sake of your fellow, you know, make him feel like bad that, okay, you know, how nobody smiles. You know, some of the early imams, they used to say that sometimes some youngsters used to come to me with so much enthusiasm and come and tell me something. I used to say, oh really, subhanAllah, like I've heard it for the first time. وَلَقَدْ سَمِعْتُهُ قَبْلَ يُولَدْ. I've actually heard this before he was even born. He used to be, you know, just imagine you go to someone, Shaykh, you know, have you heard this? I found this. Yeah, I knew this 20 years ago. I mean, how bad would you feel? Just pretend. MashaAllah, really amazing. Many of the early scholars, Salaf, used to do this. These are basic etiquettes. There's actually a whole book written on the etiquettes. Min Adab al-Islam, one of the sheikhs of the recent times from Syria, actually, and then Saudi Arabia, Shaykh Abdul Fattah al-Ghudda, rahimahullah, he wrote a really good book called Min Adab al-Islam. Actually translated into English, it's worthwhile, every one of you should read. But anyway, يَضْحَكُ مِمَّا يَضْحَكُونَ. He used to smile, laugh with them when they used to laugh. يَتَعَجَّبُ مِمَّا يَتَعَجَّبُونَ. When they used to show amazement, he used to show amazement. So these are, you know, the characteristics of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In terms of this, and he would use these things in his da'wah. I mentioned the story of the Arabi. There's another hadith where Malik ibn al-Huwayrith, this hadith is in Muttafaqun Alayhi, al-Bukhari and Muslim both narrated this hadith. He says, أَتَيْنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَنَحْنُ الشَّبَابَةُ الْمُتَقَارِبُونَ. We as a group of youngsters came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to learn from him. And he was doing da'wah. He was teaching his da'wah, of course, a form of da'wah. أَقَمْنَا عِنْدَهُ 20 لَيْلًا. We stayed by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 20 nights. I said, after 20 nights, he says, within that time, وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ رَحِيمًا رَفِيقًا. He was extremely merciful. Young brothers have come, youngsters, to learn. He was rafiq, very gentle. He would have concern in his heart for them. He says, after 20 nights, we missed our families. Some of them were probably married, young brothers who just got married, so they're missing the wives. And some of them must be missing the other family members. So he went here, they didn't say anything. They said, فَلَمَّا ظَنَّ أَنَّا قَدْ اشْتَقْنَا أَهْلَهُ. When he realized, he sensed, that you know what, we're missing our family. He said, he asked us, سَأَلْنَا عَمَّنْ تَرَكْنَا. He said, he asked us who we left behind, in terms of family. So we told him. He didn't say, no, you know, you have to sacrifice for the sake of Allah. You can't stay away from it. If you want to do deen, خِدْمَةً. Your family is sacrifice. Hey, you're missing your wife? Are you a man? None of that kind of stuff. He said, irji'u ila ahlikum. Go to your family. Go back. Irji'u ila ahlikum. Go to them. Fa'atuhum. Fa'aqimu fihim. Stay within your family. You're missing your family? Go back to your family. Because your family also have rights. And then he said, allimuhum. What you learned, teach them. Muruhum. Order them. وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. And the way you saw me praying, Pray like that. صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي. فإذا حضرت الصلاة, when the time of prayer comes, فليؤذن منكم أحدكم. One of you should give adhan. وليؤمكم أكبركم. And the eldest amongst you should be the imam. Anyway, so this is the way. Again, we see this from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and the companion. What do you say? فما رأيت أحسن معلما منه قبله ولا بعده. He would never cut off people when he was talking with them. When someone used to speak, never cut off their conversation. And one of the amazing qualities of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, كَانَ يُعْطِي كُلَّ أَحَدٍ نَصِيبَهُ. He would give everyone their share, their space. He would give attention to everyone of his companions. And many companions have said this, that we would feel that we are the closest and the most beloved to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يَظُنُّ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنَّا أَنَّهُ أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. It's actually a sunnah. You make every person feel so comfortable that they think that you are the closest to them. It's an art. And do it for the sake of Allah, ikhlas, not because you need to do some business with them. Remember this, there's a business smile and there's a real ikhlas smile. There's a business good character manners and there's real, you know, from the heart. This has to be for the sake of Allah. This was amazing quality. That's why when Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O Messenger of Allah, who's the most beloved to you, me or Abu Bakr? Because he thought really it was probably just the two, one of the two. Yeah. Maybe it's him, maybe it's Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Who's the most ahabun nas ilayk? He said, Abu Bakr. He said, thumma man, of course, going to be me now. Then who? Yeah, me. He said, Umar. Then he said, okay, now at least I'll be number three. Thumma man, then who? Said Uthman radiallahu anhu. So he said, after that, I just stopped. I didn't want to get more disappointed. He would make people feel so important that they would feel they are the most beloved, the closest person to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a hadith in Bukhari. Again, Imam al-Bukhari relates this hadith in his al-Jami' al-Sahih from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He says, we were sat to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid. A man came, entered the masjid on his camel. He tied the camel, you know, like you parked your car, entered the masjid. And he said, Ayyukum Muhammad? Who's Muhammad here? Who's Muhammad here? Neither the companion said anything. Astaghfirullah, you're not calling our sheikh, you know, this sheikh. You think it's just Muhammad? None of that. Just simple, simple life. Ayyukum Muhammad? Companion said, هَذَا الرَّجُلُ الْأَبْيَضُ الْمُتَّكِي. This one with fair complexion, who's leaning against the, you know, who's leaning against the pillar or something, that's Muhammad. So he went to him. He said, يَبْنَ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. Oh, son, you know, from Ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Oh, son of Ibn Abd al-Muttalib. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَدْ أَجَبْتُكَ. I'm here, yes. قَدْ أَجَبْتُكَ. I've heard you. Here I am. حَاضِر, in other words. قَدْ أَجَبْتُكَ. He said, then he said, يَا مُحَمَّدْ. Oh Muhammad, إِنِّي سَائِلُكَ وَمُشَدِّدٌ عَلَيْكَ. I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to ask you some very, very difficult questions. So I'm just telling you from beforehand. فَلَتَجِدَنَّ عَلَيَّ فِي نَفْسِكَ. Don't take it bad, but I'm going to ask you some difficult questions. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, سَلْمَا بَتَأَلَكَ. Ask whatever you want. Don't worry. I'm not going to take it bad. I'm here to answer your questions. This is why Allah sent me, صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then he asked him a few questions. He said, أَسْأَلُكَ بِرَبِّكَ وَرَبِّ مَنْ قَبْلَكَ. I'm asking you by your Lord and the Lord of the people, all the prophets before you. And he hadn't actually embraced Islam. He said, أَاللَّهُ أَرْسَلَكَ إِلَى النَّاسِ كُلِّهِمْ. Has Allah sent you to all the people, to mankind? The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اللَّهُمَّ نَعَمْ. Yes, by Allah. He said, أَاللَّهُ أَمَرَكَ أَن نُصَلِّيَ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ. Has Allah commanded you that we should offer 5 times prayers? He said, Allahumma na'am, yes. Allahu amaraka an nasuma hadha al-shahr fi al-sana. Has Allah commanded you that we should fast in this month, this particular month in a year? He said, Allahumma na'am. And then he said, has Allah commanded you that an ta'khudha sadaqah, that you take the sadaqah, charity, zakat, and spread it on the poor people? He said, Allahumma na'am. So he said, آمَنْتُ بِمَا قَدْ جِبْتَ بِهِ. Here, from my mouth, I have believed and I believe, I have faith in that which you have come with from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, you know what? I'm going back to my people. وَأَنَا رَسُولُ مِنْ وَرَائِي I am actually just a messenger. My tribe sent me with these questions. So he's like came in and asked, you know, like a rough dude. I don't know if this is a dude here. A rough person that just came down, you know. And he came down and he asked, and look at the impact what he went back with. You know, the love, the mercy, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed him. He had an impact on his heart. And he says, I'm a Muslim. And I'm going back and I'm going to teach them. And then he says, أَنَا الْدِمَامُ بْنُ ثَعْلَبَ My name is Dimam ibn Thalaba. He became a major companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A sahabi, a major sahabi later on. Narrated some hadith. Dimam ibn Thalaba. So this is the da'wah methodology. We said, أُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ With good preaching. With wisdom, with good preaching. Okay? And this is very important. Very important. We use the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our role model. Right? We've seen some examples I cited from the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With gentleness. Da'wah has to be done, especially in this day and age. Right? Come on, forget this day and age. I tell you one thing. One of my teachers, I heard this from him, who heard from Isha, he used to say that Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, Moses, peace be upon him. Everybody knows Musa alayhi salam, yes? He was sent to do da'wah and preach to who? Fir'aun. Okay? Him and his brother, Harun. Allah says, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرْ أَوْ يَخْشَى Go to Fir'aun, to Pharaoh. You know who Pharaoh is? Yeah? His body is still there. If you visit Egypt, still. فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً Still there, in the Cairo Museum. Allah said to Musa and Harun, when you go and preach and do da'wah to who? To Fir'aun? What did Allah say? قُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا Say a very soft statement. Talk to him very gently, very softly. The Sheikh says, nobody you'll find today is going to be worse than Pharaoh because he used to say, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى I am your greatest Lord. Nobody's claiming to be God. Okay? And no, you're not going to be better than Musa and Harun. If Musa and Harun are better than you, and Fir'aun is the worst, is worse than the person who you are making da'wah to, yet Allah is saying, say, speak softly, gently, then where does that leave us today? Where's the justification in being harsh in da'wah? I'm not saying it's absolutely haram. There are certain times and cases and certain situations. Yes, you can be slightly more strict, especially family members. It's permissible. But I'm talking about in a general sense. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا So this is with love, with mahabba, with rahmah, with mercy. This is the way. This is what we call مَوْعِذَةُ الْحَسَنَةُ Preaching in the best of ways. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُمْ مُيَسِّرِينَ You have been sent, مُيَسِّرِينَ to make things easy for people. You have been sent. Your job, task is what? Oh, brothers and sisters, to make things easy for people. وَلَمْ تُبْعَثُوا مُعَسِّرِينَ Your job in da'wah is not to make things hard and difficult for people. This is the methodology that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used, and we have that example for us. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at even other prophets as well. We said Musa, Harun. Look at Ibrahim. In the Quran, you can read it. You know, when he was giving da'wah to his father. His father's a non-Muslim. Ya abati, ya abati, ya abati, ya abati lima ta'bud ma la yisma' wa la yubsar wa la yughni anka shay'a. Ya abati inni qad ja'ani min al-ilm. Ya abati this, ya abati. You know, this is the verses. The wording used is ya abati. Oh my beloved father. When you do da'wah, this is the way. Ya abati. And this is what he used, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. It's a word that shows a lot of compassion, a lot of love, a lot of humility, humbleness. And this takes us to one thing, very important, brothers and sisters. When we're doing da'wah, look, many scholars have said this, three things. Any da'wah that has three conditions, these three integral parts, arkan, will be successful. And if you see that your da'wah is not successful, then know and realize that one of these three things is missing. Number one, the da'wah that you're doing, the thing that you're enjoining, and the evil that you're forbidding people from, is haqq. Do you understand? The thing is haqq, it's the correct thing, it's the right thing. So we do da'wah, it has to be da'wah of haqq, with number two, the haqq right intention, and number three, with the haqq way. Are you understanding this? The da'wah should be haqq, should be correct, must not be incorrect, it should be haqq. Number two, with the haqq intention, niyyah. What's a niyyah? So that people call me a big sheikh, so that I travel to Norway and I give a big speech, and then I come and travel and go to Tromsø. I'm going to go to Tromsø inshallah Monday. I've come only to visit Tromsø this time. I said to Brother Pamela, I said, I'm not coming, I've been here so many times. I will only come if you go to the northern parts to see the midnight sun. I've been trying to see this for the past 5 years. Every time I've come here, Sheikh Saeed, I've been here 4 times. And these guys always keep promising me, we'll take you north. I said, this time, if you're not going to take me, I'm not coming back to Norway. So, alhamdulillah, we're going to go to the north cap. So that's where I've come from. I'm not really coming to you to all these talks. You have better shiukh than me. Sheikh Zahir and Sheikh Abdul Rahman and many of the local great shiukh. I'm just here, you know, just to basically what we say in England, chill. You know, just relax. Niyyah, with the right intention. What's the intention? So that people call me a big sheikh or a big da'i, or, you know, mashallah, people respect me, or I go, you know, or I am proud, arrogant. If you do da'wah in that way, that da'wah is never fruitful, never beneficial. It has to be with, this is the basic condition, ikhlasu niyyah, tashihu niyyah, correcting one's intention. The first hadith of most hadith books, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, actions are according to the intentions, wa innama likulli imrin ma nawa, every individual receives that which he intends. So the da'wah has to be of the right thing, of the haqq thing, has to be with the haqq and right intention, ikhlas, sincerity. And number three, it has to be in the right, correct way. Sometimes the da'wah is correct. Sometimes you are making da'wah of the correct thing, but what's not right? Intention is not right. The intention is to show off. The intention is to what? Be, you know, want to get some, you know, very high prestigious place in the community. Intention is to show people, you know, to show arrogance, so that, you know, yeah, you know, I am something. Someone, you know, people think I am something in the community. Sometimes the da'wah is not the correct thing. The intention is right as well. You have ikhlas, sincerity, you're doing it for the sake of Allah. But number three, the third thing, the third aspect, the third condition, which is what? If you remember. What is it?
The way,
the method, that's incorrect. It's not with hikmah and maw'idat al-hasana. It's not with wisdom, and it's not with good preaching. We need all three things. Da'wah of haqq, with niyyah, which is sadiqah and haqqa, which is correct, and it's in a way method, which is correct, which is maw'idat al-hasana. So this is why it's very important. That the niyyah has to be correct. Remember, when someone makes a da'wah, it doesn't mean we're better than them. That's the first mistake that anyone can make. Think that they are better. Pride and arrogance. This is a big disease. There's a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah, this is a really scary hadith. In the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi, he says, مَنْ عَيَّرَ أَخَاهُ بِذَنْبٍ قَدْ تَابَ مِنْهُ لَمْ يَمُتْ حَتَّى يَعْمَلَهُ. Whoever Whoever, what's the translation for Aar? Those of you know what to, you know, how do you say, Sheikh? Aar Dilana. Man ayyara akhahu. Makes him feel bad. Sorry? Not sarcastic.
Condescending man.
That's two high words for me. Something easier. Sheikh Zahir, it's a dictionary, mashallah.
Huh?
To belittle someone, I think, yeah, to belittle someone. and make them, you know, make them feel guilty because of a sin that they committed, which they've repented from. مَنْ عَيَّرَ أَخَاهُ. To quote the hadith says, لَمْ يَمُتْ. This person will not die until he does not commit that sin himself. Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, hadithun hasanun. It's an authentic, sound hadith. I checked it. It said, hadithun hasan. You have to be very careful. Nowadays people think that you might just pick up hadith from your pockets. We don't do that. We say, we look clearly whether it's a hadithun sahih, or it's hadith hasan, or it's weak or not. And there's hundreds of other conditions for these things anyway. So, it's a sound hadith. This is one of the worst sins that anyone can commit. To look down upon someone. One of the sheikhs of the subcontinent, rahimahullah, he used to say that, he was a major sheikh, he used to say, I consider every Muslim to be better than me, every believer to be better than me, and every non-believer to be potentially better than me. Potentially. Because right now this is a non-Muslim, I have iman, but who knows? He can or she can embrace Islam tomorrow and become much better than me and go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enter Jannah before me in no time. So this pride, arrogance, when you do da'wah, like you belittle people, look down. And one of my sheikhs was saying that this normally happens to young people who've just recently come into Islam. You know, when you've had a past life of, past life meaning in this life, yes? Not past, present. Past of the present life. You know, some people have this belief, there's a past life, and you might, you know, people say, what did I do in my past life? Don't say that, it's not the right way of saying that. Because we don't believe in that kind of stuff. So, in his previous life,
A new practicing brother.
He was people who in their previous life have far away from Islam. Suddenly they become a gangster, a drug dealer, has become a practicing Muslim. Now you know what? I've become a good Muslim, everybody else is going to the fire of hell tomorrow. That's it. Astaghfirullah, you become harsh and very, you know, aggressive and rude and foul-mouthed and vulgar. Every method of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like thrown on the floor. Because you've just come into deen, you've got so much passion. Everyone has to change like you've changed within a split second. You don't realize it's taken you 25 years to change. You want everybody to change in 25 seconds. Because you found the truth, that's it. Everything has to change. Everybody's going down, akhi, this is haram, and akhi, this is that, and akhi, that, and, you know, and aggressiveness and harshness. This happens to people like that. And they become, as they were, as a gangster on the road, now a gangster in the masjid. Nothing's changed. The same character dealing with drugs, now dealing with what? People in the masjid. You can't pray like this. Your salah is wrong. You know, you're like how he used to deal with it, being a gangster in the streets with drugs. The same way the guy's dealing with people in different ways of praying salah. What's happened? No difference. So this happens to a lot of people. This is, Islam says no. When you do da'wah, you think you're a khadim. You're a servant. You're a slave of Allah. You have a job. You do it with ikhlas. You think that person is better than you. You think that this person has probably this illness, but he has 99 other better qualities that I don't have. This guy's better than me. I can preach. You know, this person is drinking alcohol. Maybe he's drinking alcohol, but probably he's never backbited in his life. I must have backbited 24 times in my life, or hundreds of times, which is even probably worse. Al-ghibatu ashaddu min al-zina, which is not a hadith, it's a saying. But it's a severe, severe disease, backbiting. It's definitely worse than drinking alcohol. Because drinking alcohol is, you're violating the right of Allah, huququllah. Backbiting, ghiba, is worse because you are violating the rights of the creation of Allah. So you think some alcoholic, look at this Muslim who drinks alcohol. But he could be better than you. He might have never made ghiba in his life, or not as much as you do. So we don't become arrogant. We don't become arrogant. This is why it's very important. The way we deal with when we do da'wah is we think that this person has an illness. You know, you have in your family your brother, sister, mother, father. Imagine, you know, your father or your brother, sister, it's got an illness or some problem or a headache or in hospital. You start looking down. Look at him, he's gone to hospital. Do we do that? Imagine someone's become ill. Do we do that? Yeah, go hospital. Yeah, you look down upon you. You're ill, I'm not ill. You know. Of course not. Your own wife, your own husband, your own father, mother, your family, your relatives, your friend. You have, what do we have in our hearts? What? Concern, compassion, pity. You think, he needs my attention. We make dua for that person. We'll offer salah, oh Allah, I want my brother to be cured. We'll try our best to remedy the situation. It's the same with spiritual diseases. Anyone involved in any sin, think what? That he has a spiritual illness. Just like we don't hate the one with physical illness. This is why they say, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. And even more than that, we in Islam have been told never to hate a kafir. Anyone tells you other than that? Completely wrong. This is an agreed upon concept. Numerous examples of this in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do not dislike a non-Muslim. We do not dislike a disbeliever. We dislike the act of disbelief, but not disbeliever. There's a difference between the two. We do not dislike a sinful person, but yes, we have dislike for the sin. Alcohol consumption, we dislike that, but not an alcoholic. There's a difference between the two. And this is very important, we need to remember this, that there's a difference between the two. So we make dua for them. Someone, we think there's a spiritual illness, just like we don't hate someone with a spiritual illness. You know, like there's anyone who has any sort of illness. In the same way, the spiritual, this is a spiritual illness, like a physical illness. And so this is why it's very important that we make sure when we do da'wah, we don't have this ujub, this arrogance in our hearts. And a feeling of pride and vainglory, it's a major sin. And if you do that, and if we do that, then actually all our da'wah, there'll be no reward, because there's no ikhlas. If there's no ikhlas, then there's no reward. There's no reward, and that da'wah will not even be successful and will have no benefit in it as anyway. So, and then also, we have to conceal and hide and cover people's faults. Very important. مَنْ سَتَرَ عَوْرَةَ أَخِيهِ سَتَرَ اللَّهُ عُيُوبَهُ عَوْرَتَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Numerous hadiths. Whoever hides, whoever conceals, covers up the sins of his fellow Muslim brother or sister, Allah will conceal that person's sins on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Every one of us is sinful here. We know what we do in private. Every one of us. There's nobody who is not sinful. Even if somebody says and claims, it's an incorrect claim, because the hadith says, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَّاءٌ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ Every son of Adam, that's me, Ibn Adam, okay? And you as well, but I'm Ibn Adamain. You know what that means? Like I met this brother once in Syria. So what's your name? I said, my name is Muhammad ibn Adam. Okay. I like to say, I need to remind you again, my name is Muhammad. Yeah? A lot of people, you know, they do muhadaf. They erase this Muhammad part. That is my only name. The second part is, well. So he said, I said to him, Muhammad ibn Adam. He said, all of us are son of Adam. I said, I'm the son of two Adams. My father's name is Adam, as well as Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Anyway. Whoever covers, conceals the faults, we all have faults. This is very important, we have to cover. If sha'u sir, and you know, to sort of expose, you know, you might see, exposing any Muslim is a major illness. Major sin, min al-kabair, it's a sin. Haram to the greatest degree and level. Listen to this. Exposing. Go on YouTube and you see Sheikh this exposed. Sheikh this exposed. 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 Everything's exposed. I mean, where are the basic laws of Islam gone? It's a major illness. Whoever covers and conceals the faults of his fellow Muslim brother and sister, Allah will conceal and cover and hide our faults in the next life. And the hadith says, مَنْ كَشَفَ عَوْرَةَ أَخِيهِ Whoever exposes, discloses, whoever exposes and discloses the faults of his fellow Muslim brother or sister, كَشَفَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ حَتَّى يُفْضِحَهُ Allah will expose this person until Allah will degrade him. This is in the Sunnah of Majah. Another hadith, and I'm coming to an end. Al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min. A believer is a mirror to another believer. It's a famous hadith. Al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min. Believer is a what? A mirror. You know what this means? This means we are all mirrors to one another. What does a mirror do? When you look in the mirror, what do you do? What do you see in the mirror? Anybody has a good habit, a habit of looking and staring in the mirror for 2-3 hours a day? Who has a habit? Okay. Sisters, yeah, they're excused. Sisters can spend more time. Still not too much time, but a bit more than their brothers. What happens in the mirror? In the mirror, you see your fault. The mirror tells you your fault. This means, yes, you don't expose people, but yes, you can point out to their faults. Someone's doing something wrong, point it out. Not a problem. But what the mirror does not do, what does the mirror do? It tells you your fault. But your brother sitting downstairs, will that mirror tell your brother as well? Unless, I don't know if it's because of reflection or something, but will not tell your brother your fault. You only tell the person the fault. You don't expose. You don't tell everybody else. This is the meaning of al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min. So anyway, these are basic methodologies. Just the khulas of the summary. Yeah, I need to end now, yeah? Yeah. So you need to tell. I mean, I know in England we get, I mean, we just carry on, maybe 12 o'clock. You know? Okay, so now it's 25 minutes. So this is the summary. The ayah is Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idati al-hasana. Invite towards your Lord. Preach. Every one of us, brothers and sisters, we have a duty, male and female, everyone, to a certain degree, lesser degree, more degree, and this, inshallah, Shaykh Abdul Rahman will explain in terms of the obligation and how much level of degree of obligation we have, the rules. But we all have to do da'wah in some way, shape, or form. At least we have to do مَنْ رَأَ مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. That's like basic obligation for everyone. If you see some evil, you have to change it. If the evil is happening in front of you, your fellow Muslim brother is not offering salah in front of you, in front of your eyes, you have to do da'wah. That's a personal farad ayn for everybody. So the method is this beautiful ayah of the Quran. Bil hikmati wal maw'idati hasana. Two things mentioned. Wisdom and good preaching. Do it with a concern in the heart. Have rahmah and shafa'ah. You know, mercy, concern, compassion in the heart for people with the right intention, only to please Allah, not for any worldly motive, objective, not to gain money, not to make, you know, houses, not to build buildings and buy cars, not to accumulate wealth, not for popularity, not for any of that. Ikhlas, sincerity for the sake of Allah. If we do our da'wah like this, and with this maw'idh al-hasana, and hikmah is very important, and maybe Mufti Rahman will speak about hikmah. Wisdom, using aql and brain, very important. If somebody doesn't use that, then you can actually bring more harm than benefit. You are not supposed to say certain things after certain. I know a case when someone left Islam. You know, sometimes someone in the midst of a sin, and you tell them, yeah, this is wrong, and they'll actually what? Swear at Allah in response. No. So there are times someone's angry in the midst of something, and then you try, you know, preach. Let him calm down. So there are times, this is what we call hikmah, wisdom. Very important, and I will end with this. You know, there's this one, you have to use your brains. Once this young person, this hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, again, a sahih sound hadith. This person came, young person came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you know what he said? Ya Rasulullah, i'dhan li bizina. Oh, Messenger of Allah, give me permission. I want to commit zina. Imagine, an imam or a sheikh today, a youngster comes, Sheikh, can I go commit zina with that sister? What will happen? Are you mad and crazy? Astaghfirullah. La hawla wa la. Let me call you dad. Are you crazy? Are you talking to you about zina in the masjid? What did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, come here, I'll explain to you. And he said, أَتُحِبُّهُ لِأُمِّكَ. Would you like someone committing zina with your mother? He said, La wallahi ya Rasulullah. Of course not, O Messenger of Allah. He said, وَلَا النَّاسُ يُحِبُّونَ لِأُمَّهَاتِهِمْ. Others don't even like someone committing zina with their mother. Then he said, أَتُحِبُّهُ لِبِنْتِكَ. Would you like someone to commit zina with their daughter, if you had a young daughter? said, no, of course not, Ya Rasulullah. He said, وَلَا النَّاسُ يُحِبُّونَ لِبَنَاتِهِمْ. Nobody likes people coming zina with their daughters. أَتُحِبُّهُ لِي عَمَّتِكَ. Would you like someone committing zina with your auntie? With your paternal aunt? With your maternal aunt? He said, no. He said, others don't like this as well. So he realized. He said, oh, yes. You know, this is, rather than quoting all the verses of the Quran, there are times and places. Then I said, you know, the Quran, Allah is going to punish you. You commit zina, you're going straight down the fire of hell, and there's going to be a massive snake that's going to bite you and all of that. No. There are times, ways, hikmah, logic. This is using hikmah, the way he explained to him. And he understood, yes, it's true. Yes, if you think it that way, any woman that I commit zina with will either be someone's mother, someone's daughter, someone's sister, someone's aunt, maternal aunt, or someone's paternal aunt. And just like I don't want a man, just random guy or some guy committing zina with my own sister or my daughter or my mother or my sister, nobody else would like the same. So he understood. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he placed his hands, sadrahu, on his chest. And he said, Allahumma ghafir dhanbahu, wa tahhir qalbahu, wa hassin farjahu. Oh Allah, forgive his sin. And purify his heart. Tahhir qalbahu, wa hassin farjahu. And protect, preserve his modesty. He never mentioned all these great wa'ids and all of that. And this person actually, they said after him, he said himself, that after this incident, the thought of zina never even crossed my heart ever in my life. This is hikmah. Anyway, I'm going to end this because we need to give more time to our Shaykh, Mr. Abdul Rahman. But inshallah, some of these things, hikmah and mu'idh al-hasana, very important we keep those few things in our mind. And inshallah, try to act upon these things. Then we will see a good benefit, a good difference in our communities. This was the way of the prophets. The prophets, I'll just end on this, the prophets never, da'wah, in order to give da'wah, you will undergo a lot of hardships and difficulties as well. That's a given. That's why one of the things is sabr. You have to, maybe Inshallah Abdul Rahman will talk about that. You have sabr, hardship, yes, we will talk about it. But this is always this. If you want positive results, there is no da'wah that is successful except that you have to go through difficulties and hardships. That's, if you don't get hardships, then everything's like what we say in England, hunky-dory. Everything's relaxed, no problems. Then realize there's something wrong. You have to go through hardships, there'll be oppositions, there'll be name calling. And to respond to that, never to respond with an equal way of bad manners. That's not the way of the prophets. The prophets were called all sorts of names. Look at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says in the Quran about the other prophets, they used to say to them, Inna lanaraka fi safahatin, wa inna lanadhunnaka min al-kathibin. We see you are foolish. We think you're a liar. We most likely think you are from the liars. That's what they used to say to the prophets. You know what the prophets used to say? They used to say, Ya qawmi, laysa bi safahatun, lakini rasulun min rabbil alameen. No, I'm not really foolish. I'm just a messenger from my prophet. This is how they would respond. They would not respond with with swear and slandering with two evils, two wrongs, don't make up. You know the saying, two wrongs don't make a... Come on, not the England guys, come on, the Norwegian people. Two wrongs don't make a right. So if someone's acting in a bad way, we don't act in that way. We do it for the sake of Allah. And make dua, and Allah will bring about, inshallah, benefit. There was this one Sheikh Ismail Shahid, rahimahullah, from the subcontinent. Once he was giving a talk, and right in the middle of his talk, somebody said, Sheikh, in the Jumu'ah, thousands of people. And he said, Sheikh, I've heard that you're an illegitimate child. Imagine. Thousands of people, Jum'ah Khutbah. In other words, your mom and dad, they committed zina. Imagine. Happening to any one of us. You give me a khutbah, I'm going to talk here. I mean, what would happen to you? Like, you might just tolerate and just suffer and just walk away. But, all the people like here, you might just go and grab that person and just probably beat him up or something. How can you say that about our Sheikh? So people came angry and said, no. Everybody sit down. This is a scholar from the subcontinent. Nobody said anything. And he said, yes, brother, to answer your question, what you've heard is actually factually wrong. My mother and father were actually married, And there's a very old man who still lives alive. He was one of the witnesses. If you want, I can get him to confirm that they were married. So anyway, we're going to end with that, inshallah. So, jazakallah khair for listening. Allah give us tawfiq. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.